the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 395. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. 395.
Word of God is from the Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually Now consider how great this man was, and to whom thee, and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their own brethren, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. As I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? But the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. But there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. But the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated for evermore. The Lord grant his blessing to rest upon his own word and help us in prayer. upon thy Holy Spirit now to instruct us, to exercise our soul, Lord, to bring before thee our concerns, burdens and cares. Lord, thou hast favoured us with an opportunity again to meet here in thy house. Oh, but what is the health to me except the Master there I see? Dear Lord Jesus, fulfil thy own word and come amongst us and abide with us. Lord, thou hast promised to be, though it should only be two or three, that are met together in thy name. So we plead, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be here. But oh, how we stand in need of that good Spirit of truth. We are told that John the Apostle was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Lord, we would be in the Spirit every day. And at this time, Lord, may the world be shut out, and Satan also, and the flesh subdued, that we may together be influenced by the Holy Ghost. Oh, it isn't just the preacher, dear Lord, that needs his help. Those that fear thy name, Lord, need the influence of the Spirit to listen. Lord, come and bless us, therefore, under his teaching and his influence. Lord, that we might read the word of God and speak in thy holy name according to the Holy Spirit's teaching. Lord, what we want is an understanding, and what we need is an application, Lord, of the truth. Oh, it isn't what man, it isn't this flesh that would indeed seek to interpret the word of God. It's the sweet opening and influence of thy good Spirit. But Lord, what benefit will it be if it's not applied? What benefit will it be, dear Lord, if there's no recognising of the truth of the word of God in the desire for it in our own soul? Or we would be in thy house as one that is thirsty and hungry. Lord, they are described by Jesus as blessed. But leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. Lord, however many that there may there be one more that can't be seen. Lord, we would remind thee of thine own word, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Wilt thou show thyself in thy courts, Lord? May the word of God be the means of revelation. May the application of the word of God, may it be the means of experience. Lord, we are dependent wholly and indeed completely upon thy help. Lord, what can we put to the word of God? Lord, nothing in ourselves. How can we apply the word? We know not the hearts, nor all the desires or the exercises of any. But we do pray, Lord, that it may be a living word, that it may be the answer, Lord, to the sighs and groans of the people of God, Lord, who have come up and sought a portion for their soul. We do seek this, Lord. Oh, may our precious Jesus Christ therefore be in our midst, and be in each of our desires. Oh, we would see Jesus, is what those Greeks of old testified. Lord, surely we can say we would see Jesus. We would see him not only in the word, we would see him in the walk, conversation of the people of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Or may there be those who are seekers here, not content to be chapel goers, but seekers, an appetite for real things. Lord, may there be those here that feel destitute. And Lord, be encouraged by thine own word, leave not my soul destitute. And Lord, also, he will regard the prayer of the destitute. Lord, we're thankful where a true work of grace is found, because it brings to the light the desires of needy souls. May there be sinners here, dear Lord, that seek forgiveness and beg for pardon. Lord, that would say with the poet, here on my heart, the burden lies and past offences pain mine eyes. But dear Lord, may there also be here those that shall have the experience of thy servant John, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We pray for sensible sinners in the house of God, made indeed needy and poor, that come up to the house of God with prayer and with supplication. May there be those here, Lord, that cry for mercy. Show them, Lord, that they have had, indeed are the subject of mercy. Lord, we do pray that thou would have a people here, therefore, that shall be to thy praise and glory and honour, who are made receptive to the truth, whose very souls, Lord, live upon the truth. Lord, are there those here, Lord, that seek communication from heaven? Lord, we read, he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Lord, are there those here that have preceded the attendance on the house of God with prayer? Lord, are there those here that have brought their burdens with them? Lord, we pray for it. We remember, Lord, in the Old Testament, Lord, of the Shumanite, Lord, whose son died, and he was laid on the bed of the son of the servant of God. Lord, let there be those that are indeed laid in the hearts, Lord, of thy servants, so unknown to them that thy word may be made a blessing to such. Perhaps, Lord, to be those here that are ready to perish. Lord, we read in the book of Jonah what it was in that sad state. Yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. Lord, we read of the sons of Jacob going again to the man. Dear Lord, may there be those here that shall have to go again, cannot give up going. Lord, they will starve if they stayed away. But help each to venture on the name of Jesus. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast, spreads his wounded hands. Do bless the ministry here, Lord, of thy servants. May it be as good seed sown into prepared ground. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, therefore, in this place. We pray too for a testifying by thy people. Then will I tell to sinners round what a kind Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. Let it be in this place, Lord, those who shall be indeed constrained to speak. Lord, perhaps there are those here that must speak, Lord, of the things that thou hast done. Do remember the office bearers here, Lord, and grant them grace. Every help, Lord, in the administration of the services. Lord, we pray that their exercises may be indeed fulfilled. Thou wilt bless the word and make it a blessing. Thou wilt strengthen the things which are made. Hear our prayers for those that are young. Lord, we pray for them that they may be all taught of the Lord. We read in the prophecy, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. May these that are young be indeed seen to be and identified as children of God. Lord, their souls therefore shall be blessed. And others too, parents, grandparents, Lord, others here that need, may they be brought to need Jesus Christ, to seek him first in all their matters and all their concerns. May each indeed know what it is to depend on thee providentially. Lord, to come to thee for the supply of their daily needs. Come to thee, Lord, for the way to be made clear, the pathway to be indeed put before them. Oh, be a gracious God indeed to their souls, and a gracious God according to their pathway. We seek, Lord, thy presence then this night, and thy spirit amongst us. Hear our prayers, Lord, for the servants of God, wherever they happen to be this night. Lord, whether they're busy or otherwise, remember them. Indeed, lead them into the truth and help them to speak of the things of God, to speak of those things that they've tasted and handled and felt as a good word of life. Lord, hear our prayers for thy servants that are in affliction, who cannot preach, and Lord, possibly will never preach again. Oh, help them to be still, to rest, Lord, their soul upon thee. But wilt thou hear also the petitions that the Lord Jesus Christ instructs us? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. We see a need of it, Lord, and we pray for it. Those that are separated for that work. It is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles that it is a separated work. Lord, wilt thou indeed raise up and thrust out, and by the grace of God make them useful as the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Hear our prayers too in this evil age. Lord, when we hear such wickedness and matters which indeed are contrary to the word of God brought into the nation and through those who rule over us as laws in the land, Lord, we pray that thou would keep us each, whether we're young or old, from the influence of Satan. Lord, teach those that are young not to imitate the world or seek to be like them. Oh, may there be, Lord, that difference made between them. We read in the book of Exodus that the Lord put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Oh Lord, one of the things which were very certainly different was the provision of the blood. Oh, may there be those young and old who, through the grace of God, are different. Not in their old nature. Lord, nothing will change that. Oh, may it be subdued, but nothing will alter it. But in their souls, concern and exercises, that they may have that vital evidence of grace. Lord, we live in very sad days and dangerous days. Satan's kingdom prospers. Lord, send forth thy spirit again and build the walls of Jerusalem. Or we would see prosperity in the sanctuaries, spiritual prosperity. Or may we not be content with numerical prosperity, but spiritual prosperity, the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst. Lord, that this and that one may be born there. This and that one, the Lord, may indeed be raised up and thrust out and made useful. So hear our cries and our desires for this sanctuary. Exercise thy people concerning an under shepherd. Lord, thou hast indeed laid it in the word of God as a command and a blessing to thy church. Lord, raise up here a servant of God, Lord, that shall indeed minister the truth amongst them. Hear our cries, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, another day is nearly gone. Lord, we look back on the day full of mercy. Oh, many, many blessings and favours. Lord, may the sins of the day be washed away. Lord, we pray for those that are in tribulation's path. We pray for those that are in affliction's path, that the good physician may put his hand to the work. Lord, we read of one this morning. The instruction was, bring him to me. We would bring these afflicted to thee, that thou wilt put forth thy hand and speak the word, and it shall be done. To thy praise and glory and honour. So abide with us this night. Grant us thy spirit and thy help. Lord, pardon and forgive all our sins. Help us to return thanks for every mercy. Lord, thy mercy continues. It is undeserved mercy, but it's still mercy. Help us to bless thee for the remembrance of thy mercy, Lord, and indeed for to ask thee to sanctify thy dealings with us, Lord, so it may be for the good of our souls. We read in the prophecy, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. We read the apostles' words, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, dear Lord, we would also ask thee to answer one more prayer. Lord, bring thy children, thy seeking ones, to that blessing. Lord, that blessing that is so often quoted, and we wonder sometimes how often it is needed. Lord, thy servant wrote to the Roman church and said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, bring thy dear people to that now, to that place. Lord, I brought thou didst bring him. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Lord, there cannot be condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. May there be those here that shall testify of the truth of it, of the abundant blessing of it, that shall speak well, Lord, of the precious blood of Jesus. Now hear our prayers, put away our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 119. Great God, from thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
entirely upon thee. Help of God, I would direct your attention to the chapter, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The seventh chapter of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews and verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you know anything of divine teaching, you'll also be thankful for this verse, because divine teaching will teach you to use the word you know and can explain it, what are indeed impossibilities. There's nothing more impossible that a soul should be blessed with grace and salvation other than through the work of a three-one God. There are times of extremity in the respect to the blessing that the children of God seek for. There is no such thing, dear friends, as easy believing. And if you and I are taught of God, we shall be brought not only to wait for him, but we shall often be brought into pathways which are to be described again as extremities. This word uttermost has more than one meaning. As you see in the margin, it has an interpretation evermore. But I would want to, for a moment or two, speak of the extremity that the uttermost describes. There is many instances of the word uttermost in the scriptures. Uttermost parts of the earth. You and I are sons and daughters of Adam. And there cannot be any nearness or knowledge of mercy other than through the grace and mercy of God in our souls. And we are as far from God, dear friends, as it's possible to be. In our fallen nature, the same apostle speaks, or writes rather, to the Ephesian church, and he reminds them of a very solemn truth, that when they were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And there, dear friends, we all stand. But for the grace of God, live and die in that condition. But this word uttermost, therefore, has another meaning. It means of the distance of which the children of God often feel from God. As far from God as sheep can roam. But there is also another comfortable word there. Glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love, fenced by Jehovah's shells and wheels, firm as the everlasting hills. You that are under the grace and mercy of God, have you never come into those times when it seems utterly impossible that the Lord of life and glory should reach out that hand of mercy, or speak such a word that will be a comfort to your soul. You feel by sin and the influence of sin and doubts and fears as though it's, I was going to say, beyond the limit of his love. And dear friends, it often is, feels that way. When you come to the house of God in hope that there might be a portion, and the word of God has no effect whatsoever, and you feel worse when you leave than when you came in. I was going to say, it seems as if the truth has gone by you or not reached you. One of the sure evidences of his mercy, dear friends, when the word of God comes where you are. But if you should be in that dark, distressing condition of poverty, and the word of God seems to be for others, dear friends, you feel yourself to be as far from God. There's a literal example, of course, as we mentioned a little about it just now in prayer. Jonah was disobedient, and he was cast into the whale's belly. And he said in his complaint before the Lord, I am cast out of thy sight. Dear friends, and that's what is the solemn experience of the children of God, cast out of his sight. But there can't be hope, you say. And neither would there be hope if you and I could possibly change that circumstance. But you see, Jonah never finished that sentence there. But he added this to it, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. I was going to say, perhaps you know too, those times when you've looked once more. Have you ever come into that time and condition where you've, it is your last time, as it were? All things hopeless. All things would be hopeless, but for the mercy of God. Dear friends, the Holy Spirit teaches the children of God in the depths, in the heights, dear friends, of the things of God. If he's convinced you of sin, he will convince you of the hopelessness of sin. And he'll also convince you of the helplessness that you and I are in ourselves. How solemn it is, dear friends, when you decide in your own spirit that it is unprofitable even to enter into the house of God, because it seems as though the mercy that you so long for is known by some but not by you. But then, dear friends, there's this word. It's preceded by another word, preceded this one, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's much in the word of God to encourage, I was going to say, destitute sinners. They feel to be destitute. Perhaps their past iniquities would testify against them. But dear friends, there is none, dear friends, that are destitute in the feeling sense of it, who will be destitute in the experience of it. I woke up with some line of a hymn this morning. And though my sins deserve in hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? And I looked at the hymn, and I read it through at breakfast time, or after breakfast. Who can tell? Dear friends, what a mercy. And I tell you this honestly, dear friends, it's a mercy if you are delivered from resting on anything else, like coming to the house of God. like reading the Word of God, like your prayers. These things are right. But dear friends, they can't be rested upon. There's one place you can rest, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. One of the comforts of the Word of God, you know, is this. And it needs the Word, it needs the Holy Spirit to apply it to make it a comfort. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. At this extremity, and there's a sovereignty to be seen or experienced in this extremity of uttermost. Dear friends, the mercy. How can a soul whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, how can they be left to be indeed to perish in their sin? I was going to say, may the Lord encourage you that are in this condition, should there be any in this condition, to look again, to come again. Dear friends, if you notice, and I'm sure you do, those who you indeed come across in life's journey, they're not only destitute, but dear friends, are destitute in this respect, that they're lifeless when it comes to the things of God and of their own soul salvation. Unless and until the Holy Spirit is pleased to quicken their soul into divine life and give them a desire after Jesus, dear friends, they will live and die in that destitution. But what does it mean, as we quoted in prayer? He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This is a destitution which is experienced, but not destitution lifeless. Dear friends, I was going to say, if you was asked a vital question respecting your own soul, would you have something to say? Or would it be your complaint that you've nothing to say because you're in that uttermost condition? But then, dear friends, ask yourself this question, or seek to know the truth of the question. Is there a desire for the things that you don't possess? Would you indeed realise that those things that you don't possess, in the enjoyment of them, you desire, you seek after? Well, who gave you the desire or gave you the seeking spirit for it? When that man in the Gospel of Luke prayed in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It was evidently a desire. The realization that he was a sinner is the evidence of that desire that he found seeking after mercy. But dear friends, I want to indeed direct your mind as well as my own, if the Lord will help us, to see the blessing of this word, that it isn't helpless, that it isn't hopeless. There was a good man, years before I ever went to Zohar, he told me himself, he was under conviction of sin, and he sat in Zohar Chapel, Norwich, listening to Mr. Fay, the two pastors before me. And he was in a sad state himself. And he said, I remember now to this day, he said, the servant of God peered over the pulpit and said, it isn't hopeless, you know. And he said, that raised up a desire in my soul that it wasn't hopeless. Now the text says, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost. How can this be written, dear friends, without the truth of it being made known in due course and by the Holy Spirit's truth? Quoted in the petitions about that word in John's epistle, there is another word. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What we quoted was, in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Dear friends, he is the way, but he is the way of blessing, he is the way of pardon, he is the way of forgiveness. He is able. I thought, what a wonderful word, dear friends, which would lift. If this was applied, I cannot apply it. No minister, nobody can apply it. It is the work of the Spirit of truth to apply the truth of the Word of God. But should he apply this word, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now, dear friends, one of the sure evidences of spiritual life is this coming unto God. It may be feeble, as it may feel to be feeble. But dear friends, if you are a convinced sinner, where else can you go? And who else can you come to or go to? When the case of the dying thief comes to mind, there he was on the borders of eternity. Dear friends, there was something going on in his soul, wasn't there? He was a convinced and a convicted sinner. That he was crucified was the conviction that put him onto the cross. But he was also convinced of his sin, we indeed justly. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And so his cry was, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He is able. Dear friends, what a mercy that such a word is recorded, to lift the destitute out of this hopeless and helpless condition. What we need, dear friends, is not just to quote the word, not try even to try to speak from it. What is wanted, dear friends, is the application of the truth of it, so that you can rejoice, so that you may rejoice and be glad in the knowledge of the truth of it, in the experience of it. It's very well for anybody to say, you know, the word of God encourages you. So it does. But it doesn't encourage you unless it's applied. He is able to save then to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Dear friends, I tell you this, if your soul is alive and your need is great, whatever you say about your helpless or hopeless condition, dear friends, I'm sure of this, you had to come unto God with it. Oh, the need of mercy. But dear friends, I would again testify that if you need mercy, God has had mercy. If he's revealed the need of mercy, dear friends, he will teach you to pray for mercy. And if he teaches you to pray for mercy, well, he's taught you the need of mercy. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. We said just now about Jonah. What a sad condition he was in because he was disobedient. And we said that his words was, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple. But dear friends, turn to the word at your leisure and you'll find that he's recorded this, salvation is of the Lord. Dear friends, and it must be so. Can ever souls that are under divine teaching, that are brought to come to God? One of the mercies, dear friends, of divine teaching is it to bring a sinner to a saviour. To all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. Therefore, is able to save to the uttermost them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What does he plead? Dear friends, on behalf of a sinner, can only plead one thing, dear friends, what he has done. And that's what you can plead if you seek mercy, to plead what he has done, or to seek an interest in it. One of these hymns here, speaks about that. It would be if I could find it. Never mind. Dear friends, if you and I are the subject to the love of Christ, and this is the condition, dear friends, which is experienced by those who are the subject of his love, that they shall come to him. Dear friends, come as they are. It's a very sad day in which we live, you know. Where the religion of today has come to, dear friends, is a strange situation. They speak about Jesus Christ, but they never speak about sin today. Such preaching will not do. Dear friends, it deceives. And dear friends, what a solemn thing to be a deceiver. But it's also a solemn thing to be deceived in the way of truth and righteousness. Who are these, that, dear friends, that are the subject of this word, who know what it is to be uttermost sinners in their helplessness and in their hopelessness, and indeed in destitution? What are the blessings, dear friends, I seem to see, and I see it so often, that this precious gospel isn't to the good, but it is to the sinner, the blackest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. There's of course a necessity of divine teaching, because sinners will not come to Jesus Christ because they're sinners. They'll come to Jesus Christ because they can see, or be brought to see, the way of salvation is in him and through him. There's one thing too. As you read the epistle to the Hebrews, you read much about the old dispensation. And there's one place where it speaks about the weakness of the old dispensation. One of our hymns says, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain could give the guilty conscience ease, nor wash away one stain. Dear friends, that in a certain sense is the weakness of the old dispensation. I know that the sacrifices in old times pointed to the day of the sacrifice of Jesus. But as the apostle wrote in one of the chapters, there's a remembrance made of sin every year. The high priest went into the holiest of all, not without blood, for his own sin and the sins of the people every year. But the sacrifice of Jesus was not every year. If you and I know something of an interest in the sacrifice of Jesus, that's a putting away of sin forever. Oh, I know you'll have to come again. But dear friends, there's one sacrifice, one offering. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Now, the unchangeable priesthood is in contrast, of course, to the priesthood of the days that were past. Priests were raised up and priests died, and someone took their place. And so it was passed on until the day of Christ. The day of Christ did away with the priesthood. There was no need of a sacrifice of animal, a shedding of blood of sheep or goats. There was one sacrifice and one sacrifice only, and it was the blood of Christ that was shed. And it was the blood of Christ, dear friends, by which you and I shall find peace and pardon before a holy and a just God. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost. I do feel it's a word of encouragement. I don't know how many, dear friends, in this house of God tonight, feel something of what it is to be an uttermost sinner. It is as though the depths of iniquity they have indeed entered into seem so helpless. It's dear friends, and yet in a certain sense, blessed be God if he's taught you this. Because, dear friends, there's only one way of peace and pardon, that's through this blessed man, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Now, at the end of this chapter, end of this epistle rather, there is this word, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And those that know his saving grace, those that are blessed with a hope in the mercy of God, dear friends, are blessed with this truth, that what he was, he is, and what he is, he ever will be. Great mercy, you know. Not this Old Testament reference, dear friends, has any bearing upon it, but as we reminded you, there was a remembrance of sin every year. There's a going again to this sacrifice. But dear friends, it's a sacrifice that was once offered. I know by experience you'll have to go again. Dear friends, and every day you and I have to go to Jesus Christ for mercy, for pardon, for peace. But dear friends, the sacrifice was once. It was on the cross at Calvary that he offered himself a sacrifice for many. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Dear friends, a priest is known because of his work as offering a sacrifice. This priest, this great high priest, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We read this morning at our reading the account in Mark's Gospel of the Father who brought his son to Jesus, to the disciples for healing. And the Lord Jesus Christ told them, bring him unto me. Now, it was such a severe affliction that it put a cry in that man's heart to Christ. And I read it for this reason. When the poor child was afflicted with these fits, as they were, I read this, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Dear friends, that's the extremity of the condition of that father's heart. The mercy that is in Jesus Christ, dear friends, will be seen by his compassion to his people. And dear friends, that compassion will be seen because it was substitutional sacrifice. We quoted just now, for all that come to God by him. Dear friends, that was a substitutional sacrifice. Behold, a scene of matchless grace is Jesus in the sinner's place. What a mercy, dear friends, that sacrifice, according to the love of a three-one God towards his church, redeemed them from the fall, redeemed them from the sin of Adam's fall. But what a mercy too, dear friends, the principle of the word is the provision that Jesus Christ is to his people and to his church. But it's a wonderful provision, isn't it? It's the way of salvation. It's the way to glory. It's the way of hope. Dear friends, I'm sure of this, and one can't say no more than to be sure of it. Dear friends, if the Lord should apply this word, it may be that you fear that you've sinned beyond the ability of Jesus Christ to save. Dear friend, I can assure you that it can't be so. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. This is the work of grace. It is to reveal sin. But dear friends, could you not say that you had to come unto God for it? That you've been brought in your state of poverty and need and destitution to the throne of unchanging grace and to seek for mercy? It's a wonderful truth, dear friends. I wish I knew more of the experience of it. But I hope that that truth that lies in this word, that it is indeed to be known by the children of God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. A person who intercedes pleads for someone. Dear friends, what a mercy, dear friends, if your case as a sinner is pleaded by Christ Jesus before the throne of grace. Pleading not that you are any better, not that you deserve mercy, not that you deserve the pardon of your sin, but rather to plead what he has done for his church and people. You know, there's a lot of people that know the way of salvation in the letter. I suppose all the Protestant churches, nonconformist chapels, dear friends, are taught the way of salvation, and they could tell you the way of salvation. But to be able to say to you, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, is only telling you what it is so. What I do desire, dear friends, is the proof of it, or the experience of it, and the mercy of it. But I do hope, dear friends, in such a word as this, that there's some soul in this house of God that has looked for such a word as this. Now, the word of God has been sent, but the word of God sent is one thing. The word of God applied, dear friends, will bring the joy and the praise and the glory to him and to your soul as well. To know the condition of which this word explains and uses for the comfort of the people of God is vital. It means nothing to do, as I've said, they people today have the preaching of Jesus Christ without that they must know the lost and ruined condition. How can you, how can I, dear friends, ever be blessed with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and unless you're blessed with a sense of the lost condition of your own soul, and the sense of the lost condition of your own soul brings you to Christ. But you say, this is the blessing, dear friends, which every soul under grace will come to. It's outside of themselves. There's much spoke about there seems very precious little discernment in the ways of the gospel. There's an acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Saviour, but there's precious little knowledge or truth made known concerning the soul that is to be saved. This is a provision that eternity provided. Dear friends, through Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the way of salvation. But the way of salvation, dear friends, can only be known by those who are ruined and lost, completely out of the secret. But what a wonderful word of encouragement then to a needy sinner. He's able to save. Go to Moses, he is unable to save. Read the Ten Commandments, they demand obedience. Dear friends, we can't obey the commandments that are recorded in the 20th of Exodus. think we ought to put it right sometimes when we always say the law was given by Moses, the law was given by God, and reflects his holiness and his justice and his righteousness. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That is why he came into the world, dear friends. That is why he was dressed with a body like our own. He came to put on a body like our own so that he should suffer the sins of the Church of Christ. It's beyond understanding. It is certainly beyond, dear friends, any explanation of the mercy that it brings. It's far above any minister of the gospel to try to explain the purpose why. But dear friends, the purpose why is because he would. It's not an obligation, dear friends, like we would judge obligations. It's because he would do so. Because he has a people that he has eternally loved. They are eternally lost in themselves and of themselves. But he'll teach them the need of him. Dear friends, the provision of a saviour. He'll teach them the need of the provision of a saviour. The difference between those two men that went to the temple to pray is solemnly obvious, isn't it? One was a sinner in the sense that he knew he was and felt he was and cried out because of it. And one was unaware of his sin and so therefore needed no salvation. What he did and what he said he did do, that's what he rested upon. That was his righteousness. But it wasn't Christ's righteousness. But the man who was convinced as a sinner and came to him as a sinner, dear friends, would know the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because he was justified in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. I wish I could explain the revelation of this truth. It's like having your eyes opened, isn't it? You that know, dear friends, the work of grace, had your eyes open and your heart touched when the Holy Spirit revealed to you was a sinner. What a revelation that was. It brings distress and it brings a solemn sense, dear friends, of hopelessness and helplessness. But the same blessed revelation, the same blessed Spirit that revealed you was a sinner will reveal the Saviour. And the same blessed Spirit that has taught you your carnal state, there's a verse of a hymn that so explains it all, so explains it simply. Sins within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. Wonderful mercy, dear friends, when you can see the purpose of God in charging sin home to his people. Because it puts a cry in them, a seeking spirit for mercy. It brings them to the throne of grace as it brought the publican to the throne of grace. It brings the whole election of grace to the throne of grace to seek for mercy. Dear friends, and those that seek shall find. He never turn away the cries of his people. What is solemn also, and this is experience again, and I'm sure it is, dear friends, you that have come to Jesus Christ as a sinner, to a saviour, have you not had to wait for it? Have you not had to wait for him? We sang on Sunday at Penstanton that hymn where it says, to the comfort of the people of God. No, it wasn't, it was at Zora, I believe, in the evening, but we sang this hymn, which is very comforting. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Now, I will say this, dear friends, and you will know it, to wait for him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Dear friends, I do know this, and you will know it if you are convinced of the solemn sense of need of mercy. Dear friends, you have to wait for him. I remember, perhaps not in the same vain of thought, but I remember understanding in complete experience what that dear woman, that Syrophoenician woman, suffered. He answered her not a word. And I'm sure of this, dear friends, if you know anything of what it is to be an uttermost sinner, you'll also know something what it is to wait for him as you wait upon him. What a blessing, dear friends, that he does not turn away your cry. He's able to save to the uttermost. All them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. His mercy is sufficient. His sacrifice is sufficient. Dear friends, that is the blessing of this word. Christ offered himself. The old dispensation offered animals. And the shedding of blood of animals was insufficient for salvation. Oh, it pointed. But dear friends, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for salvation. Why is it sufficient? Because it's Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. But the knowledge of the sufficiency is the application of it. There's a lovely hymn that speaks about the preciousness of Jesus' blood. What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and has my soul at freedom set? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood? Nor let one's guilty blemish stay. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. The Old Testament scripture, especially the Song of Solomon, speaks of the preciousness of the bridegroom. Now, I would feel this, dear friends. I know it, and I hope you know it. Though you have to wait for him, he's precious, isn't he? Has grace made him precious, precious in the want of him? But dear friends, what a blessed word this is to those who wait for him, that he's able to save. Oh, we'll try your faith. That the trial of faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ. What a blessed exercise that is, dear friends. Trials must indeed come. And I do know this, and you know it if you know anything of your own spiritual life, dear friends. It's often a trying time, but it is also a blessed season. Wherefore he is able to save also them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. The word of God tells us of his standing as a surety in the place of his people, that he went to Calvary with the sins of the church of Christ laid upon him. He suffered in their room, place, and stead. He didn't suffer as a sinner, but he suffered as one who bore the sins of the church of Christ before his Father in heaven. Wonderful truth, you know, if you can sing that hymn, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Nothing else, dear friends, will do. Nothing else is needful. It is found in Christ and through Christ. But oh, if you take anything away from this poor service this night, dear friends, may you take away this wonderful word. He is able also to save them to the uttermost. When you go back into Old Testament scriptures, there's much to encourage you. The children of Israel often fell into times of great need because of their sin. In the book of Numbers, you find an example of those who were bitten by serpents. Some of them died, others were dying. But there was a remedy, and it was a Christ-like remedy. A serpent of brass was made and held up. The word of God says And they that looked, they lived. You can't hold the cross of Jesus Christ up, if I might put it like that, to somebody who's dead. It applies that, dear friends, in the preaching, as much as it did in that instance in the book of Numbers. But those that were dying looked, and they that looked, they lived. May you and I be one of those blessed characters who shall see Christ as he was crucified on the cross, but see him not as the saviour of sinners, but the saviour of your sin and mine. But the time has gone. The Lord forgive the poverty. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parish is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening and Mr. Jempson next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Number 14.
own and bless thy word. Forgive and pardon all that has been amiss in thine eyes. Take us now from thy house, O Lord, in peace and safety to our homes, and abide with us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forever. Amen.